Every January for many years now, it's been my pleasure to get an update on the essential ministry of the Global Justice Institute, launched by the Metropolitan Community Church and headed by the Reverend Elder Pat Bumgardner. I particularly love it when we're able to sit down face-to-face in New York City, where she continues to serve as senior pastor at the MCC congregation in Manhattan. But even when our schedules require us to settle for speaking by phone, it's still always inspiring and humbling to hear about the ambitious work of this unique organization. And so once again, Reverend Pat, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much, and thank you for doing this, Walton.
What have been the areas of focus for the Global Justice Institute in this past year?
Well, this past year, we've focused largely on Honduras, Cuba, and Kenya, and we've also restructured our public policy efforts. For the very first time, we got involved in Honduras with an invitation from a couple of groups there, and particularly worked with a women's rights group called Ecumenicas, which is, as the name betrays, an ecumenical group of women who are working for not only health care rights for women and women's right to choose, but also crossing some very important boundaries, I think, around what women's rights include by working with the transgender community in Honduras. And so I spent about a week there, and we were able to initiate a partnership. It's a very minor partnership initially in the sense that we provided security vests for the women because, as you can imagine, Honduras is kind of a tricky country to be a human rights worker in. And if people can be identified as in some official capacity, it it provides a nominal amount of safety for them in communities that might otherwise react adversely to their presence. And I think it laid the foundation for work coming up this year. The Organization of American States will meet in the Dominican Republic in 2017, and we're preparing to offer training to Ecumenicas to be a representative and speak on behalf of the Global Justice Institute as a voice of faith promoting LGBT rights. As you can probably imagine, most voices of faith that show up at those kind of meetings are in opposition to anything that might be construed as human rights or human equality. So I'm kind of excited about that. And we had our first trip to Cuba. We have a small community in Matanzas, and I spent about a week there, and I think laid the groundwork for a partnership. It looks like we will be able to actually purchase property in Matanzas through Global Justice and private partnership. And that community there is focused heavily on, again, transgender rights and protections, and also work around HIV and AIDS. And the most exciting thing, I think, about Cuba was that during International Human Rights Day on December 10th, the Matanzas group opened another community in Havana, and we were able to be present at that and help kick that off. So I'm very excited about Cuba and what the future might hold there. In Kenya, we made tremendous progress. I think when I was with you last, I told you that we had built a building and were working on running water to our land in the Tetuan Day so that it could become productive for vegetables and crops for people in the area. And the efforts to run water were successful. We've completed the second building on that property and are working on a third that will serve as a classroom for community meetings and children's programs. We held the first ever meeting of sex workers in the area to talk about using our land as an alternative means of support. And we also sponsored the first gay pastor's retreat ever in Kenya, at which 10 people showed up and came out. And out of that meeting, a man stood up who wants to help us move into Western Kenya. So I'm very, very excited about that. We restructured our public policy efforts to incorporate them more fully under the Global Justice Institute and to have a broader global kind of purview on that work. As you know, the promotion of LGBTI rights abroad was really a very important part of President Obama's foreign policy work in his during his second term. And as you also might guess, we're a little bit fearful about what's going to happen with those kind of efforts in the new administration. So that's, in a nutshell, kind of the things we've been working on this
week. Well, that's a lot. Pat, is there a particularly important recent achievement that you're most proud of?
Well, I have to be careful what I'm most proud of. You know, I don't want anyone to think I'm less proud of them.
Right.
But I think I'm really, really moved by the efforts of the Reverend Michael Kamindu in Kenya. I don't know if I ever told you this, but Michael was an Anglican priest with a commission in the Kenyan Navy, and he happens to be a heterosexual man married with children who just, you know, felt moved by the Spirit to really advocate for LGBT rights as human rights. And he lost his position in the Anglican Church. He lost his commission in the Kenyan Navy. I mean, in a very real sense, he sacrificed a lot to do this work. And what he's done in Metito Ande, in my opinion, is nothing short of a miracle in terms of really grasping what it means to say queer rights are human rights and working for people to be able to find ways to support themselves and their households and reaching out to pastors, especially gay pastors who work, in essence, undercover and giving them safe space on our land and saying, you know, if you want to make a different choice, we will support you, we'll help you in this work. I think he's a real hero of the faith.
You know, Pat, you've had been working with so many different communities in so many different places for a long time now. I'm curious, how has the situation, the communities you serve, been changing in recent years?
Well, I think that's a really important question, Welton, and I want to answer it in two different ways. In one sense, there's been a phenomenal global shift in the past 7, 8, 9, 10 years, in the sense that, as I said, queer rights as human rights has actually become an agenda item. You know, if you think about things that have happened at the United Nations and two resolutions being passed around human rights, if you think about the United Nations actually making a statement when the Pulse massacre occurred, you know, first time in history that happened. If you think about the United States and China in 2015 co-hosting the first ever UN Security Council meeting on LGBT-specific issues, I mean, there's been tremendous movement around LGBT rights, and there's been tremendous backlash because of that. The more visible and out and vocal people are, the more bad things that also happen. So I don't want to downplay that. But what I want to say up against that is I think many of us harbor, I would say, great anxiety about what the world movement toward the right and alt-right means, not only for LGBT people, but for everyone who is marginalized or struggling to claim their rightful place in this world. So I think it's a combination of things there.
Pat, where do you expect to direct the most of your energy and effort in 2017? And I guess with that, I'm curious as to what you think is the single most urgent area of concern right now.
Well, I think that's a very, I hate to admit this, but a very puzzling question to me right now, because the elections in the United States have repositioned U.S.-based activists in terms of where our energy is going to be directed. I think we were entering an era where U.S.-based activists were able to focus more of their resources and time and energy in a broader context and to work on the connections that we share around the world. And I'm not quite sure what to expect in this upcoming administration and mm-hmm. what to think about. Having said that, for me, I think I'll not only continue to be vigilant about what happens here in the United States and how that affects people around the world, mm-hmm. I think places like Central and South America are going to be very critical because of the violence that happens there. Cuba is going to be a very critical place because we want to keep the door open there. I think I will continue focusing in Kenya because so many doors are opening there. So I think I'm going to push really hard on the efforts that we've started. And, of course, we do a little bit of asylum work, mm-hmm. trying to help people who manage to make it to the United States. And I'm, of course, I expect those kind of requests for help to increase. Mm-hmm.
I know there are listeners to this show who will want to learn more about and support the work of the Global Justice Institute. So tell all of us how we can follow your work and how we can become a part of that work.
You can go to our newly revised website at www.globaljusticeinstitute.org, or you can contact us at 446 West 36th Street, New York, New York, 10018, and our phone number is 212-629-7440. Or if you want to just communicate with me personally, you can write to me at revpat@globaljusticeinstitute.org.
The Reverend Elder Pat Bumgardner is a longtime ordained leader in the Metropolitan Community Church and senior pastor of the New York City congregation. She's also the executive director of the Global Justice Institute. Pat, the time always goes way too fast when we get together, but I always appreciate starting the year with a conversation with you. Thank you for being with us on State of Belief Radio again. I am amazed at the schedule you keep and the amount of good that you can do with your energy. Thank you again, and we'll talk soon. And if something comes up in the meantime that you want us to talk about, let us know.
All right. Thanks so much, Weldon, and God bless you for your
work. God bless you. Thank you.